Welcome, everyone. This is Gary Carpenter with Prepare for College. Again, that's prepare, the number four, college.com.
Today we're doing session number three on assets. The other two we did was last 2 weeks ago we did cash as an asset. Then last week we did investments as an asset, and today we're going to talk about business as an asset. And these are the assets that are reported on the FAFSA form. We have Al Hoffman here with us, and Chuck Moore, and myself, and I'm sure we'll come up with some questions for Al as we go through this, but we're going to pass it over to Al as the main speaker here right now. Al, it's all yours.
Thank you, Gary. As Gary just said, we got the liquid assets, which were truly liquid, the cash and the investments. But now we're coming into this opinionated on my part, a little less liquid, but that is your businesses and your farms. So the FAFSA has three blanks, and they add them all together and accumulate them into one number. And then that goes into the formula. And behind the scenes, it's essentially 5.645% times whatever these three totals come up with. So let's talk about the third of those three today, and that's the business farm. So, really, when you get down to it, the government is going to get their tax dollars, whether that comes from a corporate standpoint or through your personal taxes. But the six items that are the most commonly linked to some level of business, particularly if you're materially involved in that business, are the following. There's 1120S, the 1120 C, I guess, basically, plain 1120, and then a partnership 1065. And then what is quite a few of, and that's the Schedule C. And then we get the real estate one, that's Schedule E, and then we get the farm one, that's the Schedule F. So these are the four or the six items that will generally come into some level of recognition as a business. So this particular item is a little scary to some people because they say, oh my God, my business is, gosh, it's worth $100,000. That's going to just really hurt my chances of getting aid. And you might be surprised. And by the time I'm finished today, I think you'll realize it's not quite as bad as it sounds. However, when the simplification came out, this is the direction that they went. And they wanted to have business and farm calculated as an asset. And they gave us a method. So I have interpreted that method, and I say I, actually, collectively, the three of us, because I asked many questions of Chuck and many questions of Gary, who's an accountant background, to come up with my little theory on how and what to put into that blank called business. All right, so let's talk about that. First of all, in the business and farm, you have the situation where you're going to say, well, this is what is my value of my business? And most people who have ever thought about that go like, oh my God, I don't know what it is. Are you kidding me? There's no way I know what it is. So the issue starts with the very first thing. Very first thing is that the accountants out there, and maybe if you're not an accountant, but you do have a QuickBooks or equivalent style program, you're going to have a balance sheet. And on that balance sheet, you're going to list your assets and your liabilities, and it'll come up with a figure at the bottom of that balance sheet. This is universal. This is not anything new or opinionated. This is everywhere. You will find a net equity value. So there could be discussion on what is really an asset. Okay, I'll give you that. There could be discussions on what's really a liability. I'll give you that. But if you'll start with that and the balance sheet and go to your QuickBooks and or equivalent program and figure out what your balance sheet says that you have, that'll be what it is. Okay, you start there. That's the start. So first step is to go to the balance sheet. Second step is to do the math. Assets minus liability equals your net equity. And then from your net equity, you're going to then exercise. Remember, this is a the verbology says that this is a fair market value. Fair market value is kind of a kind of a statement that is not very definitive, because it could be whatever you want to call it. So you have to have some kind of a thing, a procedure that you can lay your feet on and say, this is what I did. And if you get audited, I doubt that you would, because this is a voluntary statement, the FAFSA is. However, if you want to be sure and have something to lay on and a defense to put up, you should have a system. And the system, again, is the balance sheet. And the balance sheet gives you that net equity. And the net equity then times what I would call a fire sale, because you can't get rid of that business overnight. And if you did, you're going to lose money. You might be able to sell a business. And I've seen people that have shared with me that it took 3 years for them to sell their business. 3 years. Well, at time of FAFSA, we're talking about right now. Right now. So 30-day fire sale, I'm going to say. So let's say you get 30-day fire sale, you get 30 cents on a dollar. I'm going to put some numbers behind this here in a second and help you figure it out. All right, so 30-day fire sale, and then you have a number that is the figure you're going to put into the FAFSA. And then what happens? Well, behind the scenes, that figure is taken to a chart that is in the formula. You don't see it. It's called A3, a chart A3, and it takes the value of the business on a graduated scale. The first 140,000 is going to be multiplied times 40%. Oh, right off the bat, then 40%. It's not 100%, it's 40%. Well, for that first 140,000. And then it graduates up to a higher level of percentages the higher you go up. But it's takes a long while before you get up to 100%. So let's just say I have a business that's worth, 65,000. Now let's do some easy math. Let's say 100,000, and my 30-day fire sale is going to give me 30,000, and my 30,000 is going to be then inside of the formula taken against that chart, and 40% of that, 40% of 30,000 is 12,000. And now the 12,000 is multiplied as the formula behind the scenes, you never see this, times 5.645%. 5.645%. And I don't have a calculator out here, gentlemen, but 5.645 times 12,000. So whatever, roughly about $6,000, let's say. And $6,000 then is the increase to your SAI from your business. Okay, so if you follow that, and I didn't lose you, we went from $100,000 business, and its effect to the formula was about $6,000. Now, granted, it's the FAFSA formula in total is a four-legged stool. There's a calculation on the assets for the parent, assets for the student, income for the parent, income for the student, and then those are all added together to create a total SAI figure, student aid index figure, that is reported on the FAFSA. And that's what the colleges use as their business model to determine how much federal and state and possibly college aid you're going to get. Okay, so blew through that relatively quickly. I'm sure there's some questions here from my learned buddies here. So let's see what they can bring to the table as far as some discussion points here. One of you speak up there.
One of the things, Al, that maybe a lot of people don't understand is that whenever you have assets, regardless of whether or not they're personal assets or a business or farm, the reason that they use the 5.65%, what they have to do whenever they put it into the charts, they have to turn that into a value that they can use to add to your income. And by transferring the value of a business into income, they use the 5.65% to convert that into an income figure that is then incorporated into the SAI to or calculating your SAI. So that's the reason why they use that percentage. Now, my question on this is that on the FAFSA form, you do not have to, I'm assuming, submit in a business return whenever you're dealing with the IRS. Now, Al, my question is, how about the CSS profile through the College Board? If you have a business, are they going to want a business tax return?
Well, yes, but not always. It's individual. On every college, we have about 240 colleges that use the CSS profile. And gosh, almost all of them, probably 150, 180 of them will use in their EDOC program where they, where they want additional documents to be submitted to the college with the profile. And one of those is going to be your personal tax return. So of those people that have a personal tax return that they submit, okay, fine, that one's simple. But a business tax return will be asked for by a very few number of those colleges, probably less than half. And but the answer to your question is, will they want a business tax return? Yes, they will. And I tell you, it could be a big one. Because that's a lot of paper. It's not a summation 1040. It's a lot of paper. So,
so in other words, what you're saying on the FAFSA form, what the IRS is going to send to the Department of Education or the financial aid system is just your own individual income tax returns. And
correct.
What you're saying here, the CSS profile. Some or maybe the majority of them, if you do have a business, will require a business tax return. Now, my question on this is that when the IRS sends this tax information to the financial aid system, they're just going to send your individual income tax returns and not your business tax returns. Now, if you have the CSS profile, and they request a business tax return, you're going to have to make copies of those and send those to the college. Is that correct?
That's correct. But it's there is getting into the weeds here. There is some of that is automated, but not all of it. But essentially, yes, the colleges will get a copy of that tax return, the business tax return, I meant to say. So yes.
Not to get too much into the weeds here, I found out on the CSS profile, normally the colleges that require the CSS profile and subscribe to the additional system called IDOC, where you transmit financial.
Yeah, IDOC. Yeah, I said EDOC. IDOC, yep. Mm-hmm.
They usually, they may or may not ask for a business return, but 99% mm-hmm. of the time they ask just for the personal return.
Yep. Okay. That's
I have seen colleges, one or two this year, that do not use IDOC and have come back and asked for a personal return. And you have to be careful here. The average person, if you look at a computer generated tax return, could be as much as 150, 200 pages. So where do you say enough's enough? And I think you look at the main parts of the tax return that show the income, the tax, the expenses, and things like that. That's the stuff you supply to them. But again, my position has always been, if they don't ask for it, don't give it to them. So,
amen. Amen.
And Al, I may be wrong here, but I might have misunderstood you. When you're doing your example and you got back to the $12,000 of assessable assets, that 5.6% assessment of those assets, that comes down to like a little under $700. And I think you said like 6,000. So I.
Oh, okay.
I'm an accountant.
I dropped a zero. Or I added a zero.
I have to point these things out. I just can't let them go,
I get you. Thank you. Thank you.
But that makes it better. $100,000 business and only affects your financial aid by $700?
Yeah, that was my point of going through those numbers is to tell you it's not as bad as you think. I mean, everybody, when they first change, this is a change. I don't like to go back in history on the old EFC formula, but the business was not counted in the old EFC formula. You know, if you had majority of the stock and you were had less than 100 employees, you were a small business, and they just didn't even look at it. On the simplified FAFSA, this took a complete 180-degree turn and went absolutely the different direction. And they started counting businesses, and everybody, all the counselors, and gosh, everybody was just going, "This is crazy. This is not right." But when you study it, it is not that bad. I mean, it's there, but it's not that bad. It's not that bad at all. You know, if you have a $2 million business, yeah, I could get you up to maybe $30,000 increase on your SAI. But then that's, if you think about it, if I have a, you know, $10 million business, net equity now, then obviously you're doing well off. So that's different.
Now also, let me throw something in this, because we may have a few farmers out there that is listening to this broadcast. And how do you, what assets do you actually include? Do you include the home that is on the farm, Al, or do you, you know, also include any type of cattle that you may have? You know, some individuals have horses that is not really participating into the farm at all. You just use them for recreational activities and such. But how about crops that you haven't harvested as of yet? Is it difficult to put a value of the crops or any type of livestock, your cattle and things along those lines?
So the form talks about a investment farm. Now think about it. That means I'm a commercial entity. So the farm will, by the instructions, does not count your primary home in it. It doesn't count your crops for personal consumption or your livestock for personal consumption. I mean, granted, if you have 100 head of livestock, you can't eat all those cows. but a personal consumption. But then when it comes against it, again, it's the very same thing that I just mentioned, of the same steps. And that is, I'm going to go to that balance sheet. What are my assets? What's left? Okay, the cattle, the crops, farm equipment, outbuildings. All of those then are added in to the value of the farm. And then you go through those steps that I mentioned and get the balance sheet out and start to look at this. And you know, when you think about the liabilities, one that gets to be a little bit crazy is depreciation. You know, I'm originally from Kansas, and I'll tell you, those combines, they're not cheap. they're not cheap at all. Those things are $250,000 plus, depending on how many extras you get, air conditioning in the cabin, et cetera. But those are just like everything else. I mean, they're leased, they're rented, they're depreciated from a standpoint of taxation as far as coming off of that. So it's not as scary as it sounds when you start to do the math. Gary, you've probably done taxes on a farmer, or maybe you haven't there in New York.
I haven't done that much on farmers. And again, okay. What taxation I did like 20 years ago. So a lot has changed in 20 years. But
still the same formula, the balance sheet, the concept, doing it step by step by step. And then, of course, how quickly can I sell that combine on a 30-day fire sale, et cetera. Again, the 30-day fire sale is not listed in the instructions to the FAFSA, but it is implied because of the fact that it is a asset that I have to get now and not take 2 or 3 years to finally clear that asset in business and sell it to somebody else. So does that make sense, y'all?
What I would normally say individuals on that, if you do have farm assets or a business asset, like what Al had just got through saying, take the bottom value down there of the net worth of your business and put it into a 30-day fire sale to liquidate that and put it down on the FASA. But then let the college decide on what they feel like the value is, and then therefore you can appeal it or whatever. Don't really, get hung up on it. Just take the values of your business tax return, put a 30-day fire sale on it, and then just let it go from there.
Yeah, it's again some of those things that you don't see as the chart, the A3 chart, which is a graduated scale, so it's going to depreciate the value there, and then times the 5.65 or 5%, and is the ultimate figure that comes out of that. So it's going to go through a number of calculations, and the number of calculations brings it down to something that is actually pretty relatively realistic, depending on what your perspective is, of course. But to me, zero is where I want to be. So anything over that, but $700 on a $100,000 business, okay, come on, that is not bad. That's not bad at all. Interesting discussion. Those businesses, I think that some people will say, for instance, real estate. Let's touch base on a tiny bit on that one, because that one also has some variables, like you're rigging up for the farm, Chuck. The business, you have to, if you're going to call it a business, and go through all the, and of course, remember now with all those graduated scales and stuff, it's going to be better to list it as a business than to just list it as a real estate, because in real estate it's going to be in the second part of the FAFSA, and that's in investments, and there it is a situation where you just have the value of the property, market value minus the debt equals the equity, and that is what you're going to put on the second block of the assets section of the FAFSA, the investments. But when it becomes a business, you go through that graduated scale that I just talked about. So the business, you have to provide some services. And I don't mean wants. I mean services. Let's say you're going to mow the lawn. Let's say you're going to do plow the snow. Let's say you're going to provide some level of personal services in the form of laundry or something of this nature. That's what you're going to call a business. Banks, and that's, I just learned this just the other day. If I have one or two properties, I'm usually not a business. And if I have five, then I go into the commercial level. So it's depending on the number of properties and that service contingent that the government puts on it for calling it a business. So I, when I discuss this with people, I call it the schizophrenic E, whether it's going to be an E investment or an E business. And it depends, it could go either way depending on what your perspective is and how you want to present it.
Yeah, that's a good point there, Al, because a lot of individuals that have rental real estate, normally if they've got a good accountant or CPA, they're going to suggest setting up an LLC. That's a limited liability company. Now, with that said, you would assume that your rental real estate at that particular point is a business. But once again, you have to provide additional services above and beyond just renting the property out. Like what Al had just got through saying here, snow removal, lawn care, things along those lines to actually designate that as a business. Just because you've got an LLC does not mean on the FAFSA form that it is dedicated as a true business.
This is one I'm going to kind of maybe end it right here, because I tell you one thing that's very important about the FAFSA and the taxes with the IRS is that their interpretations of things are not the same all the way. For instance, you could be a business as far as the government is concerned for your taxes on your rental properties, but you may not be a business when it comes to the FAFSA because of those additional rules that they put on it to call it a business. So it is a judgment call that is it just bears some thinking. And don't abuse the system, but at the same time realize the Department of Education's interpretation of a business is not the same as the IRS. So,
in other words, if you have a business, make sure that you get professional tax help, is what I would suggest.
Amen. Amen. So that wraps up our three-part segment, and all of those things are then added into one figure, one item that is multiplied times that 5.645% we were talking about, or 5.65. So that is assets. It is the only interpreted area of the FAFSA. The rest of it, the DDX offering of your what your income is all automated. The you know, your demographics of your first name, last name, date of birth, social. Gosh, if you don't know how to do those, then you probably are not college material. Being sarcastic, now you got to list your college as student, but the variable is the assets for the student and the assets for the parent or parents. That was the segment we wanted to do. Three segments on this, and this is the last of it. So we will be going on to other topics in the future, but right now, Gary, I'm going to turn it back over to you to close us out.
Thank you, Al, and Chuck, thank you very much. Well, folks, we've come to the end of another podcast here. Please don't keep us a secret. If you have a family member or friends who have a child that's going to be looking at college, give them the website. It's prepareforcollege.com, and that's prepare4college.com. Until next week, have a good day, and we'll see you later. Goodbye, everyone.